Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Astyeva rajan bhavato madhudvisha padaravindasya gunanuvadane ratir durapa vidhunoti naishtiki kamam kashayam malam antar atmanah Astyeva rajan bhavato madhudvisha padaravindasya gunanuvadane ratir durapa vidunoti naishtiki kamam kashayam malam antar atmana Astyeva rajan bhavato madhudvisha padaravindasya gunanuvadane ratir durapa vidunoti naishtiki kamam kashayam malam antar atmana
Asti,
there is,
Eva,
certainly,
Rajan,
O King, Bhavata,
your,
Madhudvisha,
of the Lord,
Pada Aravindasya, of the lotus feet.
Guna
anuvadane, in glorifying. Rati, attachment. Gurapa,
very difficult.
Vitunoti, washes. Naistiki,
unflinching.
Kamam, lusty. Kashayam,
the embellishment of lusty desire.
Malam,
dirty.
Anta-atmana,
from the core of the heart.
Translation. Sanat Kumar continued, "My dear king, you already have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such attachment is very difficult to achieve. But when one has attained such unflinching faith in the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart." Purport. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavante hrit karna rasayana kata tajjo shanad ashva pavarga vartmani shadhar atir bhakti anu krameshyati. Bhagavatam 3:25-25. By associating with devotees, dirty things within the heart of the materialistic man are gradually washed away by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As silver becomes shiny by being polished, the heart of a materialistic person is cleansed of lusty desires by the good association of devotees. Actually, the living being has no connection with this material enjoyment, nor with lusty desires. He is simply imagining or dreaming while asleep. But by the association of pure devotees, he is awakened, and immediately the spirit soul is situated in his own glory by understanding his constitutional position as the eternal servant of the Lord. Prita Maharaj was already a self-realized soul. Therefore, he had a natural inclination to glorify the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Kumaras assured him that there was no chance of his falling victim to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. In other words, the process of hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord is the only means to clarify the heart of material contamination. By the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, no one will succeed in driving away contamination from the heart. But once a person takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by devotional service, automatically all dirty things in the heart are removed without difficulty. So the Kumaras are establishing here that it's only through the association of devotees that we are elevated in Krishna consciousness. It's not that we are performing an activity and that activity is elevating us, or we have knowledge, that knowledge is elevating us. It's the association of the devotees that elevate us. So the spiritual master, he gives instruction, which is coming in the parampara. We follow that instruction. By following that instruction, we're associating with the devotee. So that's what's causing the elevation. Krishna is pleased, therefore one is elevated. It's very important to note this element. Means, now here we have two sets of self-realized souls here, the Kumaras, Pritumaraj. Because they're mentioning his point, such attachment is difficult to achieve. And the verse used uses the term rati. So we're talking about a very elevated position for Pritumaraj. And they say he will never be affected by the material energy. So that can only happen, actually, if you're very well along the line of rati. Right, because we know that even within bhava one can fall. So his position is very good. But he is still also seeing that the association of the devotees, that's what's important, what's special. And the four Kumaras have also mentioned before this, that it's
when having discussions on spiritual subject matter, everyone benefits. It's not that, oh, I know so much, so others are getting benefit, I'm not. No. The example is given that Lord Brahma, the one he was questioned by Narad Muni, he thanked him for the opportunity to talk about Krishna. Because by that talk, he himself will understand further conclusions and go deeper into Krishna consciousness. So everybody is benefited. So here then, the dirty things that we're talking about means the inclination to try to control and enjoy the material nature. Because the idea that the living entity is engaged in so much sense it's gratification, he's so sinful and such a nonsense, that's an illusion, both on the part of the person who is engaged in it and the person who observes it and says as such. Because the soul, according to Gita, Krishna is telling, you know, Arjuna right in the beginning, that the soul is doing nothing. The soul is just sitting there. Right? So, but because the soul identifies with the material coverings, then whatever those coverings are doing, that's attributed to him because he thinks, I am doing this. Right? So that's, it's actually the example given, like a dream. Right? Or like while one's asleep, one's dreaming, and one thinks one's doing so many things. Right? It has an effect. Only because we think we're doing it. So, therefore, the devotees, they're dealing with the Lord's energy in the appropriate way. In other words, they see it in relationship to the Lord. They don't see opportunities for sense gratification. They see opportunities to serve Krishna. Right? Just like someone's walking down the street, they see a pub, right? So they think, here's an opportunity for sense gratification. They walk inside. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is walking down the street. He sees the same pub. He sees an opportunity for preaching. He walks inside. So it's the point of how you view, you know, how you interpret what you're observing. You see it in relationship to Krishna, then it's Krishna conscious. You don't, it's not. So that's what the association of devotees, the value, is because then the opportunities for Krishna consciousness are seen and taken advantage of. While for the materialist, the same situation, they'll use it for their own sense gratification. So that's why the association of devotees is what's important. Does that make sense? Now, that would mean, yeah. So it's that simple. But the point is one is constantly moving throughout the material energy, and one is constantly observing it through the senses. So now, the point is to follow this simple principle at all places, at all times, in all circumstances. Now, because even though you're dealing with one energy, but its manifestations are manifold. So the variety is great, and depending upon the particular manifestation, then it appears to function differently when it actually doesn't. Principle is the same. Anything doesn't matter what it is, it's working on the same principles because it's coming from God. God's all-pervading, it's all His energy. So it works all in the same way. But the detail of its manifestation, that may be different. So therefore, there's different words for different activities in different situations and for different results. And depending upon the particular medium that you're working with, it has its own peculiarity within applying the principle. Right? You know, just like, you know, you have the very sophisticated person when they eat, they're very careful about everything, they don't make much of a mess. Then you have the person who makes a little bit more mess. Then you have babies, right? You know, their concept is any surface area is you know, good for absorbing and assimilating food. So they don't distinguish that only if you put it in the mouth, then that has validity. No, every place, heads, especially stomachs, you know, and chest, and like this. Any place is good. So you could say it's different. Oh, there's so much difference. No, the point is they're trying to assimilate the food. It's the same principle, right? But one will say is sophisticated, one less sophisticated, and one, we don't even use those terms, you know. So that's the point, is that the detail, you'll use different words, you use different examples, you'll apply it differently, but it's actually the same point. So therefore, even though it's this simple thing of that whatever you contact and whatever you have interaction with, you see that in relationship to the Lord, engage in the relationship to the Lord. The result of that engagement is given to the Lord for His satisfaction. That's all there is. That is Krishna consciousness. But because the variety of applications is so many and different in everybody's life, whatever situation they may come across, therefore, the Shastras give so many different examples and stories and definitions and ways of dealing with all this. So it appears that there's the volume is so great and it's different things. But it's no, it's still that same point. So therefore, its association is when you're with the devotees, they will discuss this same point of how everything's seen in connection with the Lord, but from different angles, so that all those angles fit into our life in all the different situations. Then that association, and then when we continue that, that's Vapu, and then by, we continue that association to Vani and apply that in our life, we're still in the association of devotees. That we're willing to do that, and we're willing to do that to please the Lord, that's devotional service. Everything else is a detail, right? If I say, oh, he's in the kitchen, he's cooking, and I go into the kitchen, I look and I come back, no, he's not cooking. What do you mean he's not cooking? Right, he's sitting there and doing nothing? No, 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 he's cutting vegetables with a knife. No, 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 that's part of the cooking. No, no, it's cutting vegetables, you know? Then you can come back later and you say, so what is he doing now? Oh, he's still in the kitchen cooking. And you look in the kitchen and says, no, he was washing a pot. Do we understand? This is what we do. This is what we do with the teachings of the acharyas. This is what we do from one scripture to another. We say, oh, no, there's no sangati. There's no connection. They're completely different things that have nothing to do with each other. Or, it doesn't apply to me, right? I am a grihastha. It doesn't apply. Or, no, we're brahmacharis. It doesn't apply. It's still saying only the same thing. Whatever your position, whatever your nature is, use it in the Lord's service. It doesn't matter what it is. To the Lord, it doesn't matter. It's that it's engaged in the Lord's service. That's what's devotional service. So everything else is a detail. Does that make sense? Just like in the cooking. Okay, he's looking for the proper pot. So you could say, no, he's not cooking, he's looking for the pot. Right? So we could say, oh no, it's, you know, according to that, he's doing some management, or, you know, he's washing the dishes, or he's offering aarti. Right? But that's technique. The devotion is that is being done to please the Lord under the direction of the devotees. That's what devotional service is. So we have to be very clear. It's not the activity that's the devotion. It's that the activity is connected to the Lord through the instructions of the devotees. That's what makes it devotion. It's that simple. That's why we many times get confused, because in one place in the, you know, the discussion, it will be saying about, you know, the household is attached, this, that, blah, and so many things. And then another place it says, you know, they're the same as the renunciate. So what is it meaning? It means when it's connected to the Lord, there's no difference in any devotee in any varna or ashram. But if they're not connected to the Lord, then there's a definite difference. Right? Means the person who's washing pots in the kitchen and not cooking, he's not cooking. He's washing pots. But the person who's cooking, if he's washing pots, he's still cooking. That's the difference. So that's why the scripture is seemingly a contradictory, that in one place is talking very strongly about how, you know, unless you take up, human life begins with varnashram. Unless you're following varnashram, you're not human. It's that simple. Another place is saying varnashram is not the devotional thing. It's not the process of devotional service. So what does it mean? If it's connected to the Lord, it's Sanatana Dharma. It's not connected to the Lord, it's not. It's that simple. The lamp's plugged in, the light works. It's not plugged in, it doesn't work. You can say, but it's still a lamp, this, that. No, but we're talking about lamp means it works. Light comes out. Right? So, this is the point, is that dirty things in the heart only go away by the association of devotees. And that means associating with the, you know, proper culture for the point of understanding or assimilating the mood of serving Krishna. That's it. There is nothing else. That's why for Vaishnavas, prayaschitta has no validity, no meaning. Prayaschitta means associating with devotees. Anything else is for the illusion. Within the dream, you did something wrong, so you got punished. That's what it's for. You think the dream's real, therefore it's done on that level. Does that make sense? You're dreaming, you say, I'm flying in the sky. Yeah, but you're not flying in the right airspace. Therefore, that's why we shot you down. Right? You know, like that. Oh, how could they shoot me down? I was enjoying the flying so much. You know, but it's all illusion. So that's the point. If it's connected to the Lord, it has meaning. It's devotional service. If it's not connected, it doesn't. It's that simple. And that connection means it has to be through the devotees. It's not through the devotees, it's not connected, it's still not devotional service. But it's from the devotees, then that's solid devotional service. So that's what's being. So that's what he says, by the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, you'll never be purified, you'll never be elevated. You know what I'm saying? So just, it's like, if you have cow dung, right? It's fresh. Or you stick it on the wall and it dries. Right? So we'll say, okay, one's dry, one's wet. True, but it's still cow dung. We may say the dry one's better than the wet one. You know, just like we say the person on the heavenly planets is better than the one here, or the very intelligent or big personality is very important. But that's just all variety within the dream. Right? So when karma is connected to Krishna, it becomes karma yoga. Jnana yoga. But if not, it's just another very pleasant and nice, pious waste of time. Like that. Any questions, comments? Yes. We have a mic. The mic man, do we have a mic? Mic man seems to be looking at the television. Very absorbed, focused. Ah, here we go. Okay. So he's on top of it. Thank you, sir.
Maharaj, could you speak a little more about the essence of devotion being, I'm hearing two components this morning, mood and following the instruction of the devotees. So, could you talk about that?
Okay, mood and following the instructions. See, when you're dealing with, means the, yeah, I'm not sure what you'd say is the overall, because performance of an activity means it's a situation. Situation doesn't have any validity unless you do something with it. Both of them will give a result. You know, so, in other words, the process of engaging an environment for a result then always has, though it's three main sections, there's four main components. Is you have the environment itself, the actual physical environment, and whatever is connected with that, gross, subtle, you know, anything, spiritual. So those are facts, what elements are there, what's not there. You're in a room, there is a mridanga there, or there isn't one there. It's not that, well, maybe if you feel there's one there, then it's there. You know, none of this kind of jazz. That it's what's there, what is the environment. then you have what's the actual mood of dealing with that environment. So that's what's very important to get from the devotees, because the materialist, he'll see that facility and then think what I can do with it in the way of sense gratification, right? Because from looking at the field, then you're going to see what you can do with it and what you can get from it, or more what you can get from it, therefore what you can do with it. So now what you're going to, now the mechanics of what you're going to do with it and get from it, that doesn't change whether you're a materialist or not, right? But what changes is the mood. So when that mood, or is in, like in the Gita, in the introduction, it says spirit. When that spirit is understood from the acharyas, then what purpose you see to that field is spiritual, for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, your performance of the activity becomes spiritualized. So the field becomes spiritualized by being engaged, you know, to get the result for Krishna. So you have to have the knowledge, but you have to have the spirit. That's sambandha jnana. If those two are there, then it's sambandha jnana. Then the mechanics and the result, that's straightforward. Mechanics, it doesn't matter if you're a gross materialist or a paramahamsa. You know, if you're going to boil, you know, potatoes, it's the same technique. It's not that the pure devotees have a different system or something, right? So the scriptures will talk about these four different aspects. That's why sometimes it seems confusing, because it will bring out one or the other. But it's already taken, understood, unless it's specifically talking about the mood, that you're looking at the field according to devotion that you've gained from the devotees, right? Then it'll be talking about the technique of the service or the result, how you look at the result, how you deal with the result. You know, in other words, is it sakam karma, nishkam? Is it, you know, is that, has it taken on that element of that, how you say, means it's pure, but it's coming from the side of Krishna first, his pleasure, or is it coming from the side of your conditioned nature? So these different, it'll divide those so you're very clear. Or in the activity itself, it may giving, you know, techniques, like Rupa Goswami is giving techniques of hearing and chanting. But those are only techniques of hearing, and they're techniques of how you can hear and how you can chant. But the point is they're only counted as devotion if you do it connected to the Lord. If you don't do that, it means it's the same way as if you want to successfully talk some gossip, you still have to have, you know, the qualified person, use the qualified words, deal in the proper way. You can't just, gossip can't be just done in any way you like. There's a very, you know, it's got a culture. So the point is that culture is based on the principle of, you know, that you're supposed to be using that hearing and chanting process for God. It's perverted state, it's not. But the method, the technique is the same. The result you'll get's the same. It means the observable result or the experiential result. Now, how you interpret that, if that's good or bad, that depends upon the spirit. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the devotees will give you technique, but more important is the spirit by which the technique is given. So many times Prabhupada's talking things, how to do things, and we take that. Like once, I think one devotee, you know, spent a lot of time. You went through, you know, and I hope it's not anyone here in this room, but went through the Prabhupada's books, pulled out all his quotes on grihastha life, and compiled it together in a way he thought would be, you know, of value to the devotees. And they very, you know, happily showed it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you know, leafed through it and said, useless, threw it down on the table. It's useless. What is it? It's your instruction. Because he only took technique. He didn't catch mood. He didn't catch the connection to Krishna. He just saw, okay, grihastha does this, and he does that, and he does. But that could have been a manual for a materialist also. Is that my sense? So the point is the technique without the mood. So that's why even if you just get the mood and there's no technique, you can pick up the technique anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you want to try to get. So even if, let's say, like the Diksha Guru, you get the mood, you pick up technique from others. You know, that's a Siksha Guru. Or they can be giving you mood. It doesn't matter. Point is both have to be accomplished. Is that okay?
Yeah. You can pick up the technique anywhere, but don't you have to pick up the technique from devotees to get the right mood?
Of course, no, of course. But let's say, you know, what's that, the technique our ISKCON academics call swanning, right? You're picking up technique from other pieces, but the problem is they go out, get the self-help book or some other book, they go through it, get lots of things, but when it comes out of their mouth, the spirit is not devotional. They'll say, no, ultimately it's connected to Krishna, but the fragrance is so the author of that, you know, that karmi author of the book. Yeah. So they didn't catch the spirit. I mean, they weren't able to apply the Bhagavatam spirit as given by Prabhupada on that. So that wasn't swan. That was very practical, down-to-earth crowing, you know, like that. Swan means it. You can take any book, it doesn't matter what, and then take out of that what is actually relevant within Vedanta, you know, some point of a definition or technique or like that. And in the presentation, it sounds like Prabhupada's presentation. Mm. That's swan, like that. Because the point is to drive a car, it's not that you have to go find, you know, the Nitya Siddha and all that and learn from him how to drive a car. You can, you know, how you down at, you know, Bob's driving down around the corner. He's a gross materialist and really uncultured. But you can learn driving from him, the technique. But the spirit of why you would drive a car, that you would have to learn from the devotee. Mm. So ideally you can learn both, so you don't have to waste your time associating with the non-devotees. Mm. But the point is means, in other words, if I figure out by you scratching your nose or looking in the mirror and seeing how you scratched your nose, either way it doesn't matter. I learned the technique. So whether I learn it from the original or from the reflection, technique doesn't matter. But the spirit does. So therefore, there may be trappings that won't be there because of the spirit, because you don't care about, it's not important to you, you know. So, you know, when you get on your motorcycle, you know, you don't put on your bandana and your colors and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and then, you know, rev the engine to get the effect, and, like, you know, that the bikey does, like that. You just get on and ride it because you're trying to get to the temple, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, there are things, because of the spirit, they throw in extra embellishments. I mentioned here the kashaya, the embellishment of lusty desire. So that is all drama. That's where you see is, that way we say it has that Western culture flavor or their own regional culture flavor. That's the embellishment. The principle is I'm controller and enjoyer. Then there's the local embellishment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So
yeah.
Both will go away by the devotee. The most important is the principle, controller and enjoyer. Then you lose interest in it. If the embellishment has a validity, you use it. You know, like you come out of the subway in New York, you look tough. You look like you know where you're going, even though you have no idea. Because if you don't, you're in trouble, right? You know, so it may be valuable to keep the embellishment, but you're using it for Krishna. Like that. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Maharaj, what is the proper mood that one should have if he's seeking advanced devotee association? And does that associate...
Seeking advanced devotee association. What mood should we have?
Right. And then also, does that association come by the mercy of Krishna when he's pleased with your mood of service, or is it...
Do we find it in the Cracker Jack box?
Yeah.
Or something like that? And can we get it in one, or do we have to send away quite a few box tops for it? Right. Okay. The principle being made, Krishna's Goswami, then he mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you sincerely actually want to know Krishna, then you'll come in contact with a bona fide devotee. You don't, you won't. Like that. Because there's so many people who are attracted by the idea of improving their life through kirtan. But how many come in contact with the bona fide kirtan? Right? So, they get peaceful, they get all these different things, but they don't get any spiritual benefit. Does that make sense? So the point is, you want it, you'll get it. It's not a matter of that it's not available. This idea, the doomsday is that there's no great Prabhupada's left, so there's nobody here and all that, that's for materialists. Like that. The point is, Krishna's in everything, so then why wouldn't he be in the devotees? You know what I'm saying? So much more obvious. right? It means the python sadhu has 22 gurus. You know, one of them is a girl, a little young girl who's just gotten married, and she's, you know, grinding spices, but the bangles are making noise, and it'll wake someone up, so she removes the bangles. You know what I'm saying? So then from that he learns is that, okay, that, you know, unnecessarily talking all these things then are a disturbance, so therefore if I give that... He learned that from her. And Krishna's describing all this to Uddhava. He says someone who's very observant and understands these principles, his own body becomes guru. He learns from the body about God, right? Does that make sense? That's the meaning. Immanent means that the Lord has pervaded everything. And through the observance of everything, you can perceive Him. You understand? So if you want it, you'll get it. If you don't want it, you won't get it. It's that simple. And it doesn't matter what is socially popular. That's what's great about Bhagavatam. Couldn't care less what's socially popular. Is that okay? Something else.
Thank you. In the description of, you went through so many very nice aspects, but the devotees, in one sense, are those who have external characteristics also and will know how to follow. And then you, in the end, you also broaden the idea of the devotees everywhere, the one that we should learn from. Eventually to enter into the land of gurus. So now the question will be, how in the stage that we cannot properly discriminate, we had some feelings about seeing something and we extract some knowledge and this and that, but then in the process of the service itself, right, in that case I cannot go and serve eventually the lady, or the animal, although I could do by feeling. So in my human form of life, I had to use this other deeper relationship. It will be this part of regarding the lusty desires where I find that the my sexual desires or lusty desires. But at the same time, the Vaishnava, how you can describe kindly the way that one feels that is associated with higher Vaishnavas.
So here a nice point has come out, is that when we're saying the point of that you can, you know, Krishna can come to you from anywhere, from anyone, so therefore those who are practicing devotees so much more, you know, easily, is we're saying this in connection that there is a root, there is a spiritual master. So that means all these other manifestations you're seeing in relationship to the spiritual master. It's not that spiritual master is one and this is another and this is like this. There's a root. There's still a primary element. And so those teachings are being applied in that situation. Right? So this brings us to the point you're making, is that we have a conditioned nature, and that conditioning means we have desires that are not connected to the Lord. Right? They may be pious, they may be impious, they may be refined, they may not be. So the point is from the devotees we gain this ideas that as I was saying, it's not as much the technique as it's the perspective. Because then technique you can either learn, or if you're intelligent you can work out or something. But the perspective is that what I'm looking at is not for my enjoyment. What I'm hearing, it's not for my enjoyment, it's for Krishna's enjoyment. So in other words, therefore, what would be, and the situation doesn't change because you thought like that. Now the point is in this situation, for my position, what is the appropriate thing, right? Does that make sense? So in this case, taking it then more specific, like you're taking it into grihastha life and lusty desires and like that, the sexual desire. So then there's a situation, right? And so in that, then that opportunity for expressing sexual interaction is there. So now, depending upon your position, then one will, means it's still the principle of looking at it, there's, it's not for my enjoyment. So then, what would be the appropriate dealing according to my position and the, does that make sense? So, therefore, for the renunciate, then, you know, there's nothing here to enjoy, so therefore, we'll engage the principle of detachment. That would be the appropriate thing to use in the environment. Therefore, then you might break down, you know, you'll break down the environment into its elements, and by doing that, it will lose, how you say, the attraction. Or by breaking it down, if it's broken apart, you can't use it, right? A machine that's taken apart can't be used. So if you take it apart and leave it that way, then you can't use it. And so you move on, then, you know, it's there. If it's a matter of, if someone's in that situation, he's a grihastha, then it's a matter is, you know, one, is it his wife or not? If it's not his wife, then it's not that there's a problem with that engagement, but not with this person. Right? So then that has to be arranged with his wife. If it is his wife, then that's something that can be arranged, but is this the appropriate situation? Like, what would be the reason for that interaction? Right? Because the point is that interaction produces children. So therefore, you know, is this, you know, does that make sense? You know, if you're in the middle of Times Square, not so appropriate. Okay, you're making a movie, maybe, but, you know, the point is, you know what I'm saying? So you would have to take it and break it down like this, because by using the intelligence, then it controls the mind. Because the mind is, it just goes from one feeling to the next, and it builds. So then one gets carried away. That's the point. If one focuses on one sense object, the senses on the sense object, then it will, like a the boat is just blown away. So the intelligence puts it puts that limit on it. Does that make sense?
So there is where we associate with higher intelligence?
Yes, but that intelligence has been given to us by the authorities, right? The devotees, and the mood of it has been like that. Because even there is that the intimate interaction is still defined by its purpose. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it will generate, you know, you can generate, you can make the situation favorable for generating life, but to do that you need ingredients. Like, you can't cook if there's nothing in the kitchen. Right? Like that. The nicer the kitchen's arranged, the more one is inspired to cook, and inspiration is there. Does that make sense? You know, and does that make sense? The better the quality of the ingredients, all this kind of thing. So that's what one's dealing with. That's what the Shastras deal with. But the point is because, and we may say, well, that's very external, very mechanical. That's what it is anyway. Because the soul's just sitting there, the body's going through all this, and the mind, and all, they're all dead matter. So there's something outside the soul, they're going through all this stuff. So it's no different, it's just a matter of whether the intelligence, you're noticing stuff, or you're not. You know, just like the person was not drunk, or the person was drunk. The activity was the same, but the difference is one, he was conscious and aware, and one, he wasn't. So the next morning, one can remember what happened, the other can't. So what we're saying is, no, unless I'm totally intoxicated, it's not real. That's like saying, you know, unless the dream was in color, it's not real. Like that. You know, if it was black and white or kind of like, you know, faded a bit, it wasn't a real dream. No, it's just, it's, you know, it may be quality of dream, but that's, it's still dream. Does that make sense? So the application of the intelligence to this process does not in any way reduce the quality of it. In fact, according to the Vedic, it increases it. And we have to remember is that the only you know, basically you can say world acknowledged, you know, book in this subject matter comes from India, right? The other ones from anywhere else in the world are small time. You know what I'm saying? So that means that they're using their intelligence, because what they're doing is intelligently defining what is the situation, therefore what can be done with the situation to get what results.
Maharaj, in the Gita we find Arjuna having trouble with his mind, and then Krishna explains and he surrenders to. But in this case, I don't feel to have any intelligence.
To have any... No, but the point is just that one understands one doesn't have any intelligence is the first step in applying intelligence. Right? You know, it's just like you have the big strong man and all that, and he coughs, and someone says, oh, you're sick. No, I'm not sick. You know, and like that. He'll go on all day like that, trying to prove to everyone that he's the man, he's not sick. But as soon as he acknowledges he's sick, then he can do something about it. So that's what the association of the devotees. Otherwise, before, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, that was like, you know, hey, you know, of course. You know, it's only by association, then we start to see is there's something wrong here. So then only we can start to deal with them.
It's not that this also makes me vulnerable to some...
Vulnerable? We're always vulnerable. Being in the material world, we're vulnerable. Unless you come to this platform that the Kumaras have blessed Pritu Maharaj with, where one's on, you know. In other words, basically, once you get to Apan Das, you don't have to really worry about it. Right? You know, so the point is if anything below prema is a difficulty. But now the farther, the closer it is to prema, the less of a dangerous. The farther away, the more dangerous. And if it hasn't even started shraddha, then that's just purely dangerous. So the point is being in the material world is already dangerous. So it's just a matter of if we educate ourselves and then try to contemplate how that applies in my particular situation, right? That's the meaning that Manu's talking about of time, place, and circumstance, is that you have to take the scripture as practiced by the acharyas, right? In other words, shastra is shastra yonitva. That's the origin, nothing else. But from that, then it has to be the tradition followed by the great personalities. Right, so therefore sadhus are there. So simply scripture is not enough. It has to be association. Right? It means, in other words, Rupa Goswami here, this is, you know, all these great personalities. But how do we connect? We connect through our spiritual master. So then we're now direct. Now here we're directly associating with the Kumaras. This verse is spoken by the Kumaras. Hearing this, we're directly associating with the Kumaras. Only because we're connecting through Prabhupada. Right? Like that. So when we connect through the spiritual master, then we're directly involved. So that direct association is there. So we have that. But then the fourth point that he makes, Manu, is that in that time, place, and circumstance, you have to apply it to your situation. And everybody's an individual. The situation is slightly unique. So you have to do that yourself. No one can do that for you. You know, the point Prabhupada makes, you can be taught how to fly the plane, but you have to do it yourself. Right? So that's the thing, is that, you know, there's a technique, you know, that's authorized technique of flying the plane, then there's all the person's mood of how he does it, his little tricks on how he deals with it. But ultimately, you have to do it yourself. So that final stage, you have to apply it. So does that make sense? So by understanding the field, then by contemplating it, then you make the attempt to apply it. If it was successful, contemplate what was successful. Right? Then increase that. If it didn't work out, contemplate wasn't successful. Reduce that. You know what? Try again. That's why it's sadhana. We try again and again and again. If it doesn't work first time, it doesn't matter. You keep trying.
So we judge by the result.
We judge by the result, because that's why in Gita Krishna focuses on result, because that's the easy one to see. We're not necessarily aware of the field and this. We just know the result, right? I work. I got money. We notice the money. We don't notice the field of activity, the work, unless, you know, except how much we have to. So some people don't notice if you were nice to the boss and everyone in the office, you'd do better at your job. They just don't notice that. All they think about is the money at the end of the week. So because result orientation is the easiest, therefore Krishna makes that the first. You just give the result to the Lord. Now it may be your result that you're giving, so it's renunciation. Or you're doing the work for Krishna, so it's his result, so it's sannyas. But the point is that result element is what you look at. Then from that you contemplate if the result's wrong, means the technique's wrong. And if that's wrong, means your understanding of the field's wrong. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, last point.
You know, Prabhupada used to tell his disciples that he would take them back to Godhead, but pigeon and a girl and this can't.
Preaching and?
No, I mean a pigeon or a girl where you learn from outside, they can't take you back to Godhead.
The pigeon, the girl. Oh, pigeon, okay.
You know, they can't take you back to Godhead. So even though the guru principle...
But the point is what are you learning from the pigeon or the girl?
Yeah, so that's my question. Even the guru principle is the same. There seems to be a difference. So can you talk about it?
But shakshad pari tvena samasta shastra, what does that mean?
The spiritual master is the same as quality as God.
Right, why?
Because he speaks the same as God.
Right, so therefore if you apply that into everything, then you're seeing God. God's the guru. The spiritual master is the representative of the Adi Guru, which is God. So therefore, then, that same instruction can be found anywhere. It means the spiritual master's instruction is practical. Right? So you hear, so it's shabda. But you have to be able to bring it to the point of pratyaksha that you can see it. That's called shastra chakshu. So if you don't see what is being given by shabda, then you haven't actually made it practical. You know? Just like Prabhupada sitting there watching pigeons, right? And, you know, the female pigeon is there and, you know, doing whatever she does. And the male pigeon comes along and does his profile and tries to impress her. And then she flies off a short distance. Not a long distance. She doesn't just fly off and disappear. She goes short distance. Right? And then, you know, okay. Then he gets up, moves over to where she is, tries again. She moves a little bit more. She does that for a while. And then Prabhupada started laughing. He says, it's just like, you know... It's the same, feminine principle, playing hard to get. You know what I'm saying? You don't make it easy. You know, why it should be so easy? You know what I'm saying? So that you see from the spiritual master's instructions. Right? You see what's the nature that's there, that's Shankhya. Now you're applying that Shankhya into the pigeons. But you got the Shankhya from the spiritual master. Does that make sense? So, the point is, you're saying the pigeon won't take you back to Godhead. We're not expecting the body of the pigeon to take you back to Godhead. We're talking about that chit potency that is empowered there because you're willing to see it. I mean, if God's in everything, that means Satchitananda's in everything, but we don't see it. We see the gross matter. Because that's what we're looking for. Right? In other words... Ram sees Sita, right? So she's Satchitananda. Ravana sees Sita. What is he looking at? Is he looking at Satchitananda? He's looking at goodness, passion, and ignorance. He's looking at Maya Sita. Right? We always have to remember that the Sarup Shakti does both roles. So Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same person, just different offices. Like that. So that's the point. You see the situation... that there's no sense gratifications for Krishna, you're dealing with yoga maya, even though it's manifest through the inferior nature. Does that make sense? And someone else is looking at it, you can be looking at spiritual nature, but because you see sense gratification, you're looking at maya, you're looking at the external world. Right? So the residents of Vrindavan in the pastime, they're in the spiritual world, right? And they're in the spiritual platform, dealing with the higher energy, right? The superior energy. The demons are coming to Vrindavan because they have another purpose. They're in the material world, though they're dealing with the superior energy. Does that make sense? So that's the point. It's You see it properly, then you're dealing with the internal potency. That's why the devotees are important. The karmis, they only see external energy. You associate with them, that's how you look at it. You can say, well, what's the big deal? They're nice. So what? They're nice. Deers are nice. Elephants are nice. Like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, Aunt Tessie's, you know, little chihuahua is nice, you know. But the point is it is still grossly, you know, in ignorance. Does that make sense? So it's not the body that takes you back to Godhead. It's that your ability to see the Lord through the directions of the spiritual master in everything. So the spiritual master is taking you back to Godhead because Krishna's pleased that you're seeing in that way. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinanda ki, Jainidai Govura Prenati.